The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
Standing Room Only presents Radio Showtime with producer, director, actress, and talent agent, Kathy Rollins. Listen here for the tops in entertainment talk. Get the lowdown on people in the biz, entertainment locally, film, music and TV in production, and advice for newcomers. How to get started. To take your part and be a star, call toll-free 1-888-565-1470. And now, let's take our mark, get ready, and action! Radio Showtime with Kathy Rollins.
Well, here we are again. Welcome to Radio Showtime. This is Kathy Rollins. And it really has been quite a month. It's just been very, very busy and very crazy, but it's nice to come here and chat with everybody and line up a nice show. And I have a great show for you tonight. We're going to speak to, well, among other things, my two special guests tonight are Larry Greenberg, who is a hypnotist, speaker, and author, and he's going to discuss with us his two things going on. He has a wonderful comedy hypnosis show, and then he's very knowledgeable in hypnosis itself. And so we're going to talk about him and what he does and why he does it so great. And also we're going to have later on in the show, we're going to have Louis Terrell. Louis Terrell is artistic director of the theater at the Arts Garage in Delray Beach, which is a wonderful, wonderful theater. And we're going to find out what's been going on there. We also have Connor's Corner, and we have Todd's tips on acting, and we have a new thing with Woody Woodbury that I'm going to share with you in just a little while, and a few other little things going on to keep you happy and interested. Let me see here. I have a few announcements. I want to let you know now, and I'll mention it again at the end of the show, that next week my special guest is going to be Alan Gerstel. Alan Gerstel is an actor, an author. He also happens to be a TV anchor at a local television station here in South Florida. But he's recently written a wonderful book titled Swing. The title is Swing, In Search of My Father, Louis Prima. He found out he's adopted, and it's a wonderful story. And there's so much to this book, how he put it together and the search that an adopted child who does not know his birth parents go through. So he's going to be here actually in the studio, and we're going to talk to him and find out all about what it's like to find out that your dad is Louis Prima. Okay? Well, I think my first guest is on the line already. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. Larry Greenberg. This is a really, really energizing, dynamic guy. He's a hypnotist, speaker, and author, and he has entertained thousands of audiences from around the world and has developed 7 audio programs for self-hypnosis. His entertaining and educational programs are presented to hundreds of audiences each year. He's going to be my first guest today, and welcome to Radio Showtime, Larry Greenberg. Larry?
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Good. Well, you certainly are an energizing person, and so I know that's why when you're on stage, you dazzle everybody. But there's so many people don't believe in when they see stage hypnosis. Of course, it's a show, and it's entertaining. But
sure.
You know both sides, in and out. But before we get into all that knowledge you have, a little background. Where'd you grow up, and how did you kind of, well, before you got started in the hypnosis, where'd you grow up? What's your hometown?
I grew up in Teaneck, New Jersey. I'm actually recently relocated down here to Florida. I don't know where in the rule book of life it says you need to be retired to live down in this beautiful state. but I grew up in the Northeast and have spent most of my life in New Jersey.
Uh-huh. So now, what did you, I know that you, someone I have to talk to, and I'm gonna have to keep you right on the line. This is a gentleman, and because I know he only has like 2 minutes to, he does a little part on our show, and it's Todd's Tips on Acting. So before we get to connect to Teaneck, New Jersey, which I didn't know, realize that because I'm from New Jersey too, please welcome Todd Vidom. Todd, on the line there?
Good evening, Kathy.
I know tonight is a very special night, and you have a lot of things to go to, and Larry Greenberg is my first guest. He's on the line. Say hello to Larry.
And well, hello, it's Larry Greenberg.
And
you can always tell a good Jersey boy.
That's right.
And then again, you can tell Larry Greenberg.
Listen, so give us your tip for the week, because I know you don't have a lot of time to stay with
tips
us.
Tips for this week.
I'm sorry, they're breaking up there.
Rehearse. But not just, you have to rehearse properly. You have to rehearse seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And when you rehearse your parts, really put an effort into not just saying the words, trying different things and work it out and experiment. Your rehearsal is your laboratory.
Right. It's like I was
go to some of these places where some people do crazy things every single night. It's totally different. That's not what the audience wants. And we have to remember, radio showtime. When it's showtime, it's show business.
Well,
and we have to do what the audience wants us to do, or they're not going to come back.
But also you have to love what you do, and you have to know
putting in the work ahead of time and rehearsing correctly,
mm-hmm.
you're going to make yourself a much more valuable commodity to everyone in the
You
show
are
business.
So well, right, and I think Larry Greenberg will agree to that.
Absolutely.
I know you got to go, Todd. I know you have you got an important thing to do later on, so thank you so much for calling in, okay?
You're certainly very welcome, and I'm so honored, Kathy, to be part of the show. Thank you very much.
You're a good boy. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you, Larry, for doing that. I just know he was supposed to call in earlier, and he was not able to. Okay, Teaneck,
New Jersey. No problem at all, and that's pretty good advice.
So Teaneck, New Jersey. So then you grew up, did you say, well, when I grow up, I want to be a stage performer, I want to be a speaker, I want to be a magician. What were your aspirations
actually,
before?
I did. I just knew that I didn't want to have a real job. I knew that I wanted to perform from a very young age, actually, coming down to South Florida many, many times as a kid. My grandparents lived here, and one of the big treats was going to the magic shop in Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
And so I fell in love with magic and sleight of hand from the time I was 8 years old. I've been doing it. And then when I was in high school and attending Rutgers, I went to Rutgers.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. And I performed regularly and realized that I could actually make a living doing it,
mm-hmm.
and that people would actually pay me to do all the stuff that I had practiced so many years. And I spent probably about 10 years or so just doing magic exclusively before I had ever seen a comedy hypnosis show. And
are you an only child, Larry? Are you an only child?
I am a middle child.
The forgotten
older brother.
I share that with you too. The forgotten child. They say it's not the oldest, it's not the youngest, has no status, is sort of in the middle, the forgotten child. But
well,
usually,
so long as they don't forget me on my birthday.
So I mean, theatrics, I mean, that you have this ability and this ease to be commanding on stage. Did this come from your mom or your dad? Did anyone else in the family have a job
my
that?
My dad is definitely, the clown of the family, and he's nobody was a performer, but my dad is definitely probably where I get most of my
stage presence
skills from. He's very very outgoing guy.
Okay, so you started out with the magic, and you found that you were good at it, and everyone was paying attention, and you were entertaining them. And then, how did you slip over into the hypnosis part?
Well, I was actually I always loved doing magic, and I loved giving people the moment of pure astonishment, that moment before you try to figure out how things work and before you wonder, hey, is it up the sleeve or,
right.
Where's the strings and the mirrors? That moment is very, very pure where you just are in awe of what you're seeing. And I always thought that hypnosis was fake. And as a magician, I was always skeptical. I was, I'm still a skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw my first hypnosis show after I had been on stage for over 10 years, and I thought it was fake. I thought that the people on stage were actors or paid off by the hypnotist to perform these silly antics.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did a little bit of research and learned that everybody who was on stage was a real volunteer and that this was completely legitimate. So I got trained in how to do it and put together a show, and I always was skeptical of it until I was on stage doing the show for the first time, and I said sleep now and watched 15 people collapse on top of each other, and the toughest thing for me to do is not look at the crowd and say, oh, my God, did you see that? It works.
So if you were to define hypnosis, what would you say? It's an elusive control of the mind? How would you define it?
You know, unfortunately, there's so many myths and misconceptions that people have about it. The truth is we all experience hypnosis every day. If you've ever been driving down the road and thinking about your day or listening to some music and you miss the exit that you take every night, I know it's happened to me. I don't know if it's ever happened
it
to you.
It has.
That's a natural trance state. Or if you've ever been reading a book or, you know, watching a movie and someone tries to get your attention and they have difficulty doing it, it's because you're in this sort of trance state. And while there are a lot of different ways to describe it, the easiest way for me to sort of define hypnosis is the act of altering someone's belief or their reality through suggestion.
Okay.
So nobody's asleep, although, you know, people think that because, you know, people are so relaxed, and especially on stage, people are relaxed, their eyes are closed, they're, you know, they're slumped over, or they're, you know, in this sort of relaxed state that
mode,
people think that you're actually asleep. It's actually not the case. People that are hypnotized can hear everything going on around them, and they know what's happening.
So can anyone be hypnotized? Because when you see a stage show, you never see one person not follow it. They all seem to go. Can anyone be hypnotized?
Anybody who's willing to be hypnotized can be hypnotized.
So you have to be a willing,
You have to be a willing participant. The fact is that the greatest hypnotist in the world couldn't hypnotize somebody who doesn't want to experience it. A lot of people will say to me, I don't think I can be hypnotized, Larry. And if that's what you think, then you're right. As far as the stage show goes, not everybody is kept. If I'm doing a show and I bring up 20 volunteers, it's very likely that I will send back several people to their seats, just because while everybody can be hypnotized, not everybody can be hypnotized in 5 or 10 minutes in front of hundreds of people with lights in their eyes and whatnot. But
would you say
it might take some people longer than others.
Is hypnosis safe?
Is it
harmful in any way? Is it always?
It's safe? Completely safe. Yeah, absolutely. You know, before my show, oftentimes people will come up to me and they'll say, you know, I want to try this. I want to come up and volunteer, but you know, what happens if I come up on stage and you put me into a deep trance state and I get stuck there?
It's a good concern, right? They get a little frightened. That's like when you can have an operation and they say this is not a true science. You have to sign, you know, things happen, you know, you ever go for a little simple procedure. It's a simple procedure. And he said, wait a minute, I didn't know I could die here, you know. So,
no, the fact is that if you were to come up and volunteer during my show and I were to put you into a deep trance state and I were to drop dead right there in front of you, you would simply fall into it. Let's hope that doesn't happen, but you would just fall into a normal natural sleep like you do every night. You would wake up like you do every morning. So it's completely safe.
Okay, so then when people want to lose weight and want to stop smoking and they go to, they resort to hypnosis, it can be effective then. It is effective.
Oh, very, very effective. In fact, I'm a former cigarette smoker who, anybody who's smoked in the past and they know how difficult it is to quit. And the reason is because, you know, your subconscious mind is not always agreeing with your conscious mind. Your conscious mind says, I don't want to smoke cigarettes, or if you're using hypnosis to lose weight, you know, I don't want to eat these foods, but your subconscious mind is sort of
fighting.
Sort of that little devil on your shoulder saying, yeah, you do want to smoke that cigarette. You're going to get a lot of pleasure from it. Or you do want to eat those Oreos. They taste really good. So what hypnosis does is it bypasses what we call the critical factor, that line that divides the conscious and the subconscious mind, so you're able to actually implant suggestions in the subconscious mind.
So when you go,
actually alter your beliefs on how you feel about smoking or how you feel about overeating.
So when you go that route to stop smoking or to lose weight, do you need like reinforcement? Is it something you have to go for like every week for 10 weeks or is it something, is everybody different?
Well, everybody's different. There are some people who can go in one session and give up smoking. I usually recommend, say, I think of it like exercise. You wouldn't go to the gym one time and expect to
find results. Just,
yeah, exactly.
Sure.
You know, I have audio programs that people will listen to either for losing weight or stopping smoking or memory and concentration improvement or stress relief, things like that. And I recommend that people listen to the audios every day for 21 days. And that's usually enough time to really have some effectiveness.
So when you do a show, you're using hypnosis as a show, you say, all right, where are my volunteers? And then there are 20, and then you have a little chat with them, or you kind of find out who, because they all take varying degrees of submission.
What happens is I call for volunteers. I chat with the audience for a few minutes, mm-hmm. letting them know what hypnosis is, what it isn't. Sort of like what we're doing right now and sort of, you know, helping determine exactly what's going to happen during the show and exactly what happens to you when you're hypnotized. Because the truth is people are nervous. Are you going to have me up there and am I going to be barking like a dog, clucking like a chicken, or ripping my clothes off and running around naked? And so I try to make sure that during the first few minutes I calm everyone's fears.
Do they generally remember what they did? I mean, or is that optional? Like when you have your show and they do what they do, do they remember being on stage and sleeping and doing all these things?
People usually fall into one of three categories. Either they remember everything, they remember nothing, or they remember some of it. Most people fall into the middle category where they remember mm-hmm. some of it. You're not asleep. You can hear what's going on. If you couldn't, you wouldn't respond to suggestion. And so most people can remember things that are going on, but they're just so relaxed, and they're in such a relaxed state of mind that they just don't care.
Well, we're speaking to Larry Greenberg, and he is a master at hypnosis, stage hypnosis, and also you have you've written a book, and you have your DVD that actually people can buy, correct?
Which, I have audio CDs that people can pick up if they go to hystericalhypnosis.com.
Okay.
You can pick up any of those audio programs. The DVD that I have is just clips of the show, and they can contact you for that, or they can contact me.
But your self-hypnosis DVD is the 5 steps of hypnosis. Is that the one that you...
That's an audio program.
Okay. And what is your... you can give our listeners your website if they want to know more about you and what you do.
They can visit hystericalhypnosis.com mm-hmm. to learn about the stage show. Mm-hmm. Or they can visit homehypnosisevents.com to learn more about the private sessions that I do.
Is there any age group that is more susceptible to going under, we'll say? Let's say for therapeutic reasons, say people want to lose weight or they want to stop smoking. Mm-hmm. Are older people less susceptible, even though they want to? Which are harder for you to do your job? Over 50 or under 50?
It really makes no difference. You know, like we said before, so long as the person is a willing participant, mm-hmm. That's really the biggest requirement. And then the other is that they have an IQ of greater than 60. Not that somebody who doesn't have, you don't have to have a high IQ, but chances are likely that people with low IQs just aren't able to concentrate. A lot of people think you need to be weak-willed in order to be hypnotized. It's actually, that's the farthest thing from the truth. The better you can concentrate and the better you can focus, the faster and the easier you'll go under.
How young an audience could you do if you were doing a show now? Is it like not good to do this with children? And I say children, I mean like 8 years old, 8 to 12, like that. Is that a fun thing, or would you rather not? Or
I don't perform for kids that young. And again, it basically comes down to Not that they don't want to experience hypnosis.
Right.
It's just that their concentration levels aren't quite there. And I shouldn't even say their concentration levels, but more about their willingness to take it seriously.
Right. So how young would you?
I work for high school groups all the time.
You do?
I work for high school groups all the time.
Okay.
Colleges and it's great for fairs, festivals, corporate events. But it really, the age doesn't make a difference as much as, you know, their ability to take it seriously, or at least during the induction where we put everyone into trance.
So I know you love to do the stage show because you're so good at it, and I know you enjoy helping people with your private sessions. Is there one or the other that you prefer to do, or you like them equally, or what's your comfort zone?
It's kind of hard to say. I love being on stage. It's a lot of fun. This is going to sound a little bit egotistical, and I'm not trying to
go for it.
That way.
Go for it, Larry.
But if you were producing a show, Kathy, and you had a magician and a juggler and a stand-up comic and a hypnotist on the card, you would have to put the hypnosis show last.
It's a close one. Okay.
At least I wouldn't want to follow the hypnotist with a magic show or with another type of variety act. The energy that's created and the laughter that is created during
but
the show.
That's
I'm,
the way
I'm
you...
not embarrassing my volunteers.
No, but
it's really very respectful of them. But I love being on stage.
But
being said, when somebody says, "Wow, you really helped me make a change in my life," that definitely has more of an impact.
But the producing of it is important, and that's what you know how to do. You know, the way you present it. I know the results are exciting, but it's that timing. And here you're performing something with people that are volunteering, yet you have an audience to entertain, and you want to wow them. So a lot is going on there, and you have a big job to do it. And I think when you are gratified that you did wow them after all the work, it's not an easy thing. It's not easy.
Well,
not everybody can do it.
I think it's something that anybody can learn, but I also think that there's something innate in being able to, present the show. That being said, what Todd was talking about as far as rehearsal goes,
yes,
there's a lot that goes into making it look very easy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of that 1 hour on stage, people think, and as you know, having, you know, performed yourself, people think that they're paying for my 1 hour on stage. And the way I always say it is, you know, the show's free. I mean, if you could stamp your fingers and have me on stage, and I wouldn't have to travel, and I wouldn't have to set up, you know, sound equipment or, drive 4 hours or fly somewhere to get to a show, I would do the show for free. But there's a lot more that goes into producing a show, as you know.
And I'll bet also in producing that kind of show, you yourself, even though it's your thing, you really just can't be doing a lot of physical things and then go on stage. Is there like a 20 minutes or 15 minutes that you have to prepare yourself, your mental state, like any entertainer, but it must be in a special way for something with hypnosis. Do you have to sort of like get yourself like centered before you go on stage?
Not at this
really?
Point.
Really? Oh.
I still spend a few minutes by myself backstage, making sure that I am in the right state. At this point, having been on stage so many times for so many years, I can turn it on pretty quickly, but I still do my own sort of little self-hypnosis session before the show starts.
So, Mr. Larry Greenberg, doing this so well, what's lying ahead that you say, you know, I haven't done that, and that's what I want to do next? What's down the road?
I'm not sure. I think I'd really like to expand more on the self-hypnosis sessions for people, because that's really very rewarding.
Yeah.
Hypnosis can be used for And we're in the state of Florida where there are more golf courses than anywhere in the country.
That's true.
People can use hypnosis to,
that's true,
you know, concentrate better on the golf course.
So what do people come to you for other than the typical things, the weight loss, the smoking? What are some of the things that hypnosis can help that we are typically not aware of that people come to you for?
People will want to learn how to use it to relieve stress or to sleep better. I've had people who have wanted me to hypnotize them so that they could, you know, not be uncomfortable in front of people that they didn't like too much. that was one of my favorite sessions where somebody said, you know, every time I see this person, I go into this rage and I just want to strangle them. Can you help me to calm my nerves when I see them? And so,
wow.
I've definitely had some fun things. Situations.
Okay, well, he's Larry Greenberg, and you can contact him again, Larry at hystericalhypnosis.com. And
yes.
I have an 88 number for you. Can I use that?
Please.
1-888-573-7675. 1-888-573-7675. Larry Greenberg, you are a dynamic, delightful, wonderful, entertaining person, and I hope we see more of you, and I hope we have you on the show again.
I would love that. Thanks so much for having me on tonight, Kathy.
Thank you so much.
Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, so we have now, that was very interesting. I really enjoyed that. We have Connor for Connor's Corner. I don't know what he's going to tell us about. You know, Connor has his input every week, and we need to keep touch with everyone, and he lets us know what's going on of interest for the younger set, you know, the 12 to 18. So, Connor, welcome to Radio Showtime. You're there, honey? Connor?
Yep.
So, welcome. So, what are you going to share with us tonight?
Well, today I'm going to talk about a great hobby, guitar.
A hobby? Okay. Guitar, did you say?
Yeah.
Go ahead. What would you like to share? Go ahead.
Well, I play guitar as a hobby, and I think it's a great thing to do. I think it's great that instead of just listening to music, kids can learn how to make their own.
Mm-hmm. So when you acquired you've been playing, what, for two or 3 years now?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. And you take lessons?
I do.
So what do you suggest if someone gets a guitar for their child and said, all right, so then it's one thing to have it, and then you have to get some classes, correct?
Yeah.
So how did you get into it? Once a week, or what kind of classes did you take?
I did once a week every one day, and ever since then, I've been learning how to do better and better, greater and greater, and I just learned a new song today.
You wrote a song, did you say?
No, I just learned a song. Great song called Sky High Honey.
Okay, is that a new song?
I'm not sure. I sometimes will just listen to the radio, find a nice song, learn how to play it.
Now, I know you always say you want to be a paleontologist when you grow up. Has learning music, has this sort of like changed your mind a little bit, or is this something that you really like as a hobby?
Well, it's always great as a hobby. It's always great to learn how to make your own music. Also, it gets creative juices flowing through your head. It's always fun. Sometimes it's just nice to have that, you know, you can play guitar.
That's true. And, of course, you've taken part in some concerts with some other young people because I believe your teacher has arranged these little concerts over the years, and that's probably given you a lot of self-confidence and poise, would you say?
It does. It also is a great way to make friends all around if you have a group community guitar session.
Mm-hmm. So are there any other instruments you've gotten involved with besides the guitar, or because of starting with the guitar, have you gone into any other instruments?
Well, I have the big brother of the guitar learned, the bass.
Yes.
And it's sort of, once you learn one of the string instruments, you sort of get used to the rest.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, like when you know how to play guitar, it's much easier to learn how to play bass or violin. Or cello.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, and I think you dabble in writing some music. Did I understand that?
I did dab a little bit on writing. I did write a little bit of a song. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're good at making songs.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you're better at playing them. I'm more of a player. I don't write as much.
So that, you're not going to find that out unless you give it a shot, right?
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that, or is that pretty much it?
Well, that sums it up.
Okay.
I have a hobby, too, at all.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Connor. It's always great to talk to you. And I know you also like to cook, so maybe one week you'll share one of those amazing recipes with us, because I know you like
you
to cook
what?
In the kitchen. Huh?
I'm going to make you guys a promise. One of these weeks, I will do something to show you guys how to make a delicious chocolate silk pie.
Oh, you got me there. I'm a chocolate person. Okay. Well, we look forward to it. Thank you so much, Connor. Thank you for calling. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. How about that? Okay, my next guest is on the line. But before, we'll do the Woody Woodbury thing later on. I am so happy to have my next guest with us tonight. A few weeks ago, I have to admit that I've always known about this theater. I just didn't get there, but luckily someone invited me and I saw a marvelous show a few weeks ago. It happened to be the closing night for a show called Beyond the Rainbow, and it was a wonderful tribute to Judy Garland. And that's where I met Louis Terrell, the artistic director for the theater at the Arts Garage. It's in Del Rey. And if you love theater and you appreciate good theater, I was so overwhelmed with the production I saw. And there are other things that they have going on there. But anyway, a lot has to do with this wonderful, marvelous Louis Terrell, artistic director, and he's here with us tonight. Welcome to Radio Showtime, Louis. How are you?
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for having me on.
I know you are a tremendous busy guy, and I'm not just saying I know you are, and I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Now, you have been pioneering here in South Florida since 1974, and you were the founder, would you say, of Florida Stage Theater in, was that Manalapan?
It was.
Mm-hmm. And I always remember, you know, I have to apologize, I never got up there, but I would always hear people say, I just saw the greatest show in Manalapan at the Florida Stage, and I said, and then when I met you, I said, that's who they've been saying. I've been hearing this all these years, so I apologize, but I will definitely come to your shows and promote it in any way I can. The production I saw was out of this world.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And everyone in the theater, it was packed. It was closing night. It was packed, and they thoroughly enjoyed it. And even though if that show ran on another hour, I think everybody would have been so happy, you know. It was already a full-length show, but it was so good. It was like everybody was enjoying every single minute of it, the way it was presented, the quality and the acting and the music and the staging. And I know you always complain or people say, oh, the stage could be bigger, but the way you worked it out, it was just amazing.
We really like the intimacy of it. We like it to be small, and Arts Garage is a beautiful small venue in the heart of Delray Beach, and now we have this new program that brings new work in American theater to not only the folks of Delray but to South Florida, in plays that they otherwise would never have a chance to be exposed to.
I want to let everyone know where it is. The address is 180 Northeast 1st Street, Delray Beach, and it's very easy to get to. If you're Atlantic Avenue, and you just go from like 95, you just go east to Swinton. Everybody knows where Swinton Boulevard is. It's one left and one right, and there you are.
Right, we're just one block north of Atlantic, exactly.
Correct, and the parking was easy. I happened to be there on a Sunday. Parking was super easy. And explain to our listeners the concept that you created there, because you probably know how best to explain the experience for someone who's not been there yet.
Sure. Well, the theater part is just a part of the whole. It's a multidisciplinary arts center, really, in a storefront. At the ground level of a parking garage, mm-hmm. and the Arts Garage. And Aliona Osh, our executive director, created the idea for it, the vision for it, and when she came to me, they were doing primarily music and visual art, and they had a great jazz program and also various styles of music, contemporary, classic music, classical music, and but she also really wanted to have a theater program there.
Mm-hmm.
The space is uniquely appropriate for the kind of work that interests me most, new work, raw, wonderful new work in American theater, very much in the off-Broadway tradition, work that'll make you think as much as it'll make you laugh and feel. And the very unique aspect of it is that it's the audience sits at tables, and they can bring their own dinner, their own picnic, their own wine. They can bring a thermos full of martinis and champagne.
Could, you could see when they were bringing it very compactly. It was just like a very systemized when I was watching the people come in. And you, in talking about new works with your work at the for Florida State, you have been involved with more than 150 new works over the years.
Well, we had a number of years. We Florida Stage ran for 24 years, so in those many years, we were able to bring to life 150 new works in American theater, many of which have gone on to rich and rewarding lives. Production lines around the country at theaters throughout the nation. And here at Arts Garage, we have the same opportunity to take our finest young playwrights, who are some of our best voices in American theater, to have them in the same season as we have some of our national treasures. Israel Horovitz is a remarkable treasure of an American playwright who became well known back in the 60s and 70s in New York. Currently he's directing a movie version of his own play, My Old Lady, and in Paris with Maggie Smith. With Maggie Smith and Kevin Klein. And we did a new work of his last season called Gloss the Blue. We'll be doing another new play of his this season called Fighting Over Beverly in our third slot. So so the youngest playwrights, the emerging new voices in American theater, have a chance to work with people
of
great stature like him. And, you know, it's just the next new model for new work. With the Florida Stage closing, having lost our audience in our move to the Kravis Center, this is a venue that people really have embraced. They love coming there. They love bringing their own.
But the atmosphere is so nice and clean and airy. It's different. Yeah. It really is different. What's the capacity? Yeah. I couldn't tell. I mean, what's your capacity?
It's 150.
150. There are round tables, and then you also had some regular seats in the back. But
Seats in the back at a very nominal cost. And that's the other thing. It's our highest ticket price is $45.
Wow.
But you can get in. Students can get in at $5 at the door. $10 if they reserve. The idea is to make this for the community, a place where people will want to come, want to have fun, want to see something new and exciting, whether it's the theater or in jazz.
That's what I want to talk to you about, the jazz. What is the general program? I mean, is Saturday night jazz night? Is that how it works?
Typically it's Saturday night, and we have the top names in jazz from around the world. This is, whenever I go home to New York, I always stop one night at Jazz at Lincoln Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I never care what's playing there because anything that is playing there will be remarkable.
Mm.
And it's the same thing at Arts Garage, whether you know the names of the headliners or not.
It doesn't, the quality
people
is
who
there.
People who do follow jazz will know many of the names, but it doesn't matter.
Right. It's going to be good.
You know, anything that is playing there is remarkable.
So
this is something unique and wonderful in South Florida, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Well, you make it a wonderful, I'm sure you are very much a reason why, and plus the wonderful staff that you have to work there with.
We have great
staff. Oh, yeah, you could see it. So Saturday night is jazz night. What is the general format when your shows are running, Sunday matinee? How does it go?
We perform five times a week, Wednesday through Friday night at 7:30 p.m.
Okay.
Saturday and Sunday matinees at 2 p.m.
Oh, so there is a Saturday matinee show.
And a Sunday matinee.
And then Saturday evening is the jazz.
That's right.
If there is someone out there that is an aspiring and a good, you know, has a bit of a track record playwright, can they submit works to you? How do you? Do you have a committee? How do you work it? Are you open to that?
No, I read between 200 and 300 scripts a year. And we ask that any playwright have their agents submit the script.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, I've realized that there are so many people who have written plays avocationally, because it's a wonderful exercise. It's something that allows people to express themselves and tell stories in their own way, in their own voice. But like anything of a highly professional nature, you have to earn your stripes.
True.
It usually involves a great deal of training to be in the professional arena. I think of it in the same vein as my golf game. I love playing golf.
Mm-hmm.
but I would never
compete.
go to the PGA.
Gotcha.
Say, you know, I really belong on the tour.
Okay.
And, you know, these people have studied and practiced for many years and are the best in their profession.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we aspire to at Arts Garage, the theater at Arts Garage. We only hire the top professionals in the realm.
Mm-hmm.
And the playwrights come from the same background. They study as a surgeon would go to school
for
many years.
Yeah.
Right.
So how about volunteer? Do you have a volunteer program?
We do.
Are you always looking for ushers and things where people want to get involved?
Always looking for people who want to get involved. We have a terrific guild that meets regularly, has such fun together, parties mightily, and supports Arts Garage in a very passionate way. So I would
They call that main number, your main number for
that? Yeah, call the main number, and everybody can is welcome to be a part of the guild and to volunteer and be ushers or help in the office. We really welcome the community. We feel, you know, we're only there for the community, so...
Right. Let me give that number for anyone interested in volunteering and knowing more about your program, your season. It's 561-450-6357. 561-450-6357. And, I'm sure, and when does your season listing come? Is that out already?
Well, it is out. We are offering a 4-play season.
Mm-hmm.
That begins on November 1st, plays for the month of November. We're opening with a beautiful song cycle, a musical called The Longing and the Short of It, by Daniel Matte. And it is, it's an evening of catchy and thrilling and unpredictable theater songs. In a variety of delightful musical styles. Daniel Matte is the Kleban Prize winner for Most Promising Musical Theater Lyricist. That is the top prize out of New York. for the great writers. He will take his place alongside Stephen Sondheim and Jonathan Larson and some of the Jason Robert Brown, some of the great writers of musical theater today. And this would give our audience a chance to hear this music, these songs, this wonderful musical storytelling for the very first time. So that's what we'll open with in
November, and then what
in
follows,
November.
What follows.
And then a new play, a brand new play by Carter Lewis called The Hummingbird Wars. Carter, I've worked with for many years. I've produced at Florida Stage plays of his, the storytelling ability of a boy, the cha-cha of a camel spider. He wrote a great golf play called Golf with Alan Shepard that we did. His work is unique and singular, and it's about a family who a soldier has returned from call of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan. He's a Medal of War, a Medal of Honor winner, and he comes home, and he and his wife and his children are the new front line is the home front, where a middle-class family is struggling to survive the wars with the cable company and the water company.
Right,
you know,
the reentry.
The fight that we all fight every day in corporate America, it's enormously funny and very poignant.
And quickly, what are the other two productions following?
Israel Horovitz's new play, Fighting Over Beverly, is a romantic comedy set in Gloucester, Massachusetts. And it is a love story, a love triangle between three 70-plus-year-olds.
Okay.
Beverly was a war bride back in World War II, and her husband, Belly, the Yank, went over there as a pilot and brought her home. But her former boyfriend, Archie, a Brit, 50 years later, comes over and wants to take her back.
Wow.
So it is a very funny and, again, a very poignant love story.
And number four? Friend.
Number four is The Trouble with Doug. And that is a retelling of the Franz Kafka novel, Metamorphosis. It's satirical. It's a bit surreal. It's a contemporary reimagining of Kafka's Metamorphosis with about a healthy young man who transforms inexplicably into a giant fucking slug. And it's about the family that's thrust together awkwardly under the same roof with his fiance and his mom and dad and older brother to try to understand and respond to this strangest of crises.
Well, I'm going to give the number again, but I want if I'm sure you offer a season series package.
Absolutely. We offer subscriptions.
What does it go for like?
Group rate. And all four plays will provide a spectrum of theater styles and stories and be great fun for friends to share as they bring their own wine
and see a wonderful quality production. Again, we're talking to Lewis Terrell, Artistic Director of the Theater at Arts Garage in Delray. Again, they are located at 180 Northeast 1st Street, Delray Beach. And their phone number, please write their number down or go online and look them up. The Arts, A-R-T-S, Arts Garage. Their phone number is 561-450-6357, 561-450-6357. You have a wonderful, wonderful theater. You are so dedicated. You have a wonderful staff there working for you. So go to see the theater, listen to the jazz on Saturday night, and volunteer if you would like to volunteer and really for something that's really worthy and so wonderfully presented you must know and share the information of Theater at Arts Garage. Louis Jarrell, thank you so much for sharing all that with us, because it's an honor to chat with you.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you so much. All the best. We'll see you soon.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
How about that? That was wonderful. I don't think we did a break. How about a commercial break? It's a nice one. We'll be back after these messages.
Three words define excellence in entertainment. Standing room only. Those same three words are your ticket to the finest and widest variety of entertainers for your next party or event. Founded and led by the amazing Kathy Rollins, Standing Room Only Productions is a licensed, bonded, and insured full-service entertainment company operating in South Florida since 1982. SRO's lineup of performers is unmatched and ranges from a DJ to an entire orchestra, from an MC to a full ensemble production, and includes specialties such as ventriloquists, magicians, belly dancers. If it's been on stage, SRO has it. They can even produce and direct your show using your group as the talent. Nothing tops a standing room only show. Call Kathy now at 954-791-7555. That's 954-791-7555. Or visit the website at KathySRO.com. That's Kathy with a C, KathySRO.com. Standing Room Only Productions.
Okay, so that was really, really wonderful. Thank you so much to Larry Greenberg and to Louis Terrell. We have a new little thing we're adding to our show. I mean, we want to appeal to all ages. So there's a marvelous guy that I had on a few weeks ago, Woody Woodbury. Is this not a South Florida treasure? He is so delightful and so talented, and he's such an experienced guy with television and radio, and he's earned and well-deserved a star on the Fort Lauderdale Walk of Fame. But I'm going to share some of his comedy with us. He's recorded his nightclub acts over the years. In fact, he is a Golden Record Award winner because of them. So a little break now to the comedy. This is at the Bahama Hotel, the comedy of Woody Woodbury. Woody Woodbury, here we go.
For those of you who just arrived, welcome to the Bahama Hotel. For those of you who have been here throughout this past 7-minute intermission, or I guess an 11-minute intermission, it's nice to have you with us. The first segment of it, for the benefit of those who just arrived, we did a few hymns. We had a little community singing, and we raffled off a turkey. And she is waiting in room 303.
It's my room. What room was that?
Room 303.
I'm in 302.
You're in 302? Just a hop, skip, and a knock.
All right, well, that's the style of Woody Woodbury. He's a delightful guy. There's something else I'd like to share with you. You know, over the years, I'm sure everybody collects music and things that are favorite to them, and I'd like to do that. I've come across a bunch of special songs, and this is not a new song, but it's just a beautiful song, and this is a song by the name of, well, actually it was recorded by Julio Iglesias, but Rod McEwen had a lot to do with it, and here's his version of a song titled Hey.
Hey, you must have seen me watching you all day. I saw you look up once then turn away. Love was all I could feel. Hey, forgive me if I seem a little shy. I've never felt like this and I know why. What I'm feeling is real. Hey, I wish that there was something I could do that had a special meaning just for you. We explore the unknown.
All right, so there's your little hey, okay? I like it. It's a nice cha-cha, actually, and nice if you're learning the cha-cha. I think that would be a nice basic, not too fast tempo for you to learn that. I do want to mention to you that coming up at Nick's Italian Restaurant, which is located at 3496 North Ocean Boulevard on A1A, that's north of Oakland Park Boulevard, south of Commercial on the east side, Nick's is absolutely the best for Italian food. And we have a special show coming up there Sunday, October 13th at 1 o'clock. It's the Carlucci Cohen Comedy Wedding. It's an interactive show, a lot of dancing and eating and singing and fun and a lot of interaction with the cast. And we'd love for you to come to see it. The tickets are only $40 for dinner show. Tax and tip is included. And for reservations, which they are half sold out right now, is 954-791-7555. 954-791-7555 for the Carlucci Cohen Comedy Wedding at Nick's Italian Restaurant in Fort Lauderdale. I do want to mention a few guests we have coming up in the future weeks. We're going to be having David Orson, who is a wonderful Broadway and classical vocalist. We have Paul Levine from Famous Faces. We have Frank Carmelitano, an exciting, talented guitarist, classical and jazz guitarist. David Mulemans is going to be joining us. He's a wonderful Broadway singer. Bob Lasky, the best headshot photographer in South Florida. Bob Lasky, we're trying to get him on. He's going to be with us. And Doug LaRue. Doug, I hope you're listening there in Key West. This is a really another multi-talented, delightful guy. Doug LaRue, among other things, he's involved in filmmaking, television. He's got his own radio show down there in Key West, quite a few of them, actually. And he tells me he's working on the in November, they're coming up with a stage and screen festival in Key West, and he's going to be on soon and let us know all about that and how you can get involved with that. Let me see here. I got so many bits of papers here that I want to remember not to forget anything. Again, next week, my special guest is Alan Gristel. He's the author of a wonderful book about his life. Actually, his dad was Louis Prima, and I picked that song as a closer before I knew him. But Alan Gristel will be here to let us all know about his show, his book, In Search of My Father, Louis Prima. Thank you so much for listening, and tune in next week. I'm Kathy Rollins for Radio Showtime. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bonacera, senorina, kiss me goodnight. Bonacera, senorina, kiss me goodnight. But the red do that to the bat, bona body boat, but do the battle boat, bonacera.
You've been listening to Radio Showtime with producer, director, actress, and talent agent Kathy Rollins. To find out more about Kathy and Standing Room Only Productions, go to KathySRO.com. Or call 954-791-7555. That's KathySRO.com. The curtain will rise again next Tuesday evening at 7.
The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.